My darlings, dearests, and dreamways, wherever the story finds you, I trust it finds you well. Chapter 3, Reality Check.
Oh, so you recognize me then. I wasn't sure how much you'd remember.
Did you drug me? Is this? Did we?
Settle down. Don't fill this room with hysteria. In time, you'll know all you'll need to know. By then, I will not need you.
But... Alberto paused and drew a long manicured finger to his lips.
Shh, let the hours be as they wish. There are plenty ahead of us, and there is no point in trying to fill them all.
But I need it.
Yes, I understand. Do you think that 40 seconds moaning and whining and complaining is going to somehow release you from what is absolute, unquestionable, final reality?
I just need a wee.
Very well. I shall not deprive you of your basic human needs. You're useless to me, broken, and besides, I am not an evil man.
So you'll untie me and I can use the lavatory?
I will untie you. But before I do, you should know that whilst I mean you no harm, if you try anything, try to escape, call, or compromise our location in any way, I will have no choice but to control you. Do you understand? I need you to understand so there can be no doubt.
Alberto crossed the room to a stack of old pallets piled against the far wall. Six large wooden crates, with one on its side leaning against the tower broken, a mess of splinters, chips, and bent rusty nails beneath it. As Roger watched on in a hazy fear, he noticed Alberto reach for something shiny, but he couldn't quite see what it was. A pale face turned to approach him once again, and Roger's eyes fell like weights to a large knife clutched in the man's hand. Naturally, Roger began to unravel.
Look, I thought I won't say anything. I'm not gonna run, please. Just don't.
Hush now, be still. I have already said my intentions are not to harm you. If you do exactly what is required, there is nothing to fear. I am a man of my word.
Alberto pushed in close to Roger's side, whose hands were tied tight behind his back with his ankles chained to a support post. He continued, now whispering directly into Roger's ear in a chilling, ghostly cadence.
There is a lot you will learn, and a lot you cannot unlearn or forget. There's much more to this building than you appreciate. This school, simple, small, insignificant really. It was once the birthplace of a most magnificent discovery. A secret more forgotten now than was ever truly known, present only as briefly as names written in dust.
I don't understand. What secret? Does this have something to do with Humphrey Bramble? Is that why you're asking me all those questions? This is just a school now. He's been missing for years.
Things are not always how we name them to be. A light can be on as well as it can be off, and yet it remains a light all the same.
I'm not sure I follow that one.
You will.
The tension eased at Roger's wrists, with his arms dropping slightly as Alberto ran a knife through the knot.
You may use the closet. Wait. The chains. Go.
Roger made an awkward skip and shuffle over to the closet, pulled open the door and jumped inside. The closet was not a lavatory. It was simply a small room housing all the cleaning supplies for the school. In the dark, bleachy air, Roger desperately tried to assemble his thoughts.
Okay, keep calm. You should have seen it coming, Rog. He's hardly the friendliest of chaps, but a knife and those chains. Oh my, what could he possibly want here and with me? I bet if I make enough noise, one of the teachers, someone would hear it. Wait, no. He said he'd control me. Oh, yes. Sorry, I'll be right out. Oh, crumble, what am I going to do?
Running his eyes around the small room, Roger stopped upon a bucket and mop propped up in the corner. He pulled the mop and set it to lean against one of the lower shelves, dragging the bucket out towards his feet. Thick, salty sweat began to tear and trace the worried furrow folds, beading into Roger's eyes and stinging with their tracks stretched out behind them. The hesitation that preceded was crippling, and Roger's seemingly terminal requirement diminished behind a rising wall of dread. Pea shy and unsteady, Roger fixed one hand to the shelf and tried to catch his breath.
Coming.
Come over here. I would like to show you something.
Alberto was standing over a table studying some papers. He signaled for Roger to join him and gestured to one particular page, waving it impatiently.
Have you ever seen anything like this before? Anything that might resemble it? Anything at all?
I'm not sure, really. What am I looking at?
Never mind what it is. What does it look like to you?
It doesn't really look like much to me. I mean, a cross? Could it be a cross?
So this doesn't look at all familiar. Take a moment.
Give it here a sec. Could it... No. But it... No. But I suppose it could...
What? Tell me what you see.
No. I'm just clutching at straws.
Tell me what you see now.
Okay. It kind of almost looks a little like the Brambles sign.
The Brambles sign?
You know, the Brambles sign up on the roof. You must have seen it.
Alberto snatched the paper from Roger's hand, glancing over it briefly before pressing it to his chest and tilting his head back towards the ceiling.
The roof. How do we get up there?
Well, there's a ladder out by the fire escape. It's above the basement hatch over there.
Then we go to the roof. But first we wait. We wait until all the little eyes are closed and sleeping. Then. And then you will show me.
Basil, Flora and Skermit approached a wide circular building with four skinny steps leading up to a door. Above the door, a sign read Crumbs Collective and Protected Civil Center, illuminated by a series of blinking colored bulbs. The surrounding area was quiet, with the crowds having dissipated across the neighboring streets towards the town. There was no movement in the air, just a subtle electric burn, sickly and lingering like poorly chosen words at a stranger's table. Skermit had been painfully vague throughout the journey, demanding the couple's attention be fixed exclusively to pace and without discussion. Exhausted, lost, and confused, the hope that they may finally be arriving somewhere set high in the couple's throats as each one sent a knowing hand squeeze to the other and the lightless march came to a final halt.
Right. We are here. Please, let me do the talking. Sergeant Cruz is a cautious man, and I can't be sure what he'll make of you two.
Wait, who? Sergeant?
Cruz.
Do you think he'll be able to help us?
Honestly, I don't know what he'll do. But the fact is, you two are strangers here, and if you are to stand any kind of chance, you must be declared. To go behind the collective would be treason, and since our powers are now entwined, secrets are forbidden.
I see. Understood.
And, Basil, you understand too?
I do, of course.
Okay then, let's go.
The trio made their way up the steps, and Skermit signaled to stop when they reached the door. A large red button protruded from the wall with no visible entry point to the door itself. Skermit paused, took a deep breath, and pressed the button.
CCPCC name, please.
Skermit.
Do you have an appointment?
No, but this is of urgent policy.
What policy?
Strangers from beyond the line. The policy states...
Enter, please.
In three beeps, the door flew up into the frame and out of sight. Above the red button, a smaller green light blinked on, and the curious triangle ambled cautiously inside. They arrived into a small reception area with a series of long corridors leading off behind a central desk, like the spokes of some giant wheel. The ceiling was studded with lines of softly glowing bulbs, colouring the room in a subtle blue hue. It was just about bright enough to see, but not quite light enough to avoid straining, reading the numerous signs and policies hanging from the walls. CCPCC, crossing lines and putting crumbs first, read one. Hevelton, our light, our home, our responsibility. Sign up now, read another. Unauthorized crumbs caught beyond the gate curfew will be prosecuted. Safety is us, not I, warned a third. And hanging above the reception desk in a large blue neon flickered, CCPCC, reception. A small face twitched from behind the desk, summoning Skermit forward. Basil and Flora followed closely at his heels.
What do you think this place is? Very odd. Looks like a creepy doctor's waiting room or something. I'm not sure. I suppose it's some kind of community center or...
Shh, will you two be quiet, please? I need to sort this out.
Sorry.
Hello. I'm here to see Sergeant Cruz, please.
Okay, and these... Ugh. I presume they're with you, are they?
They are.
I see. Is the sergeant expecting you? Do you have an appointment?
Well, no, I don't. But as I said, and as you can see, they are strangers. You know the policy.
Just a minute. Sergeant, I've got this crumb here. He's got with him some awful-looking things. Strangers, yes. Yes. Okay. Okay, thank you. The sergeant will see you, and just be sure your creatures behave themselves, or you can bet your spark you won't be long for the hevel. Understood?
Yes, understood. Thank you.
Where do we go? The receptionist pointed to a thin red wire running along the wall off into one of the corridors behind the desk. Follow the red wire. All the way.
Okay, then. Come along, you strange things. We mustn't keep the sergeant waiting.
So, Skamit, who is this sergeant we're off to meet? You've not told us anything about him.
Yes, Skamit, how well do you know the sergeant?
Sergeant Cruz is... he's in charge.
You've met him before, though, right?
Not exactly, no.
Oh, so we're the first strangers you found and bravely escorted back to meet him, then?
Well, technically... Technically, you're the first strangers.
Ever?
From beyond the line, yes. The only strangers we see here are sent directly from Pelisleys himself. Those cedars, for example. I suspect, had you been found by Kroost or his troopers, that's exactly what they'd have thought you to be, too.
What do you think they would have done?
You would have been locked up.
You don't think you'll react like that now, do you?
For us, things are only of one or the other. There is no in-between, and yet somehow you two seem to have muddied that philosophy. I can't speak for Kroost, but I believe you to be something quite other indeed, and I'm sure as Hevel sent that in time all truths reach the surface.
The red wire reached an end, running straight into a door marked SGT Kroost. To the right of the door a sign read, Knock, Wait, Enter. Skermit acknowledged the sign, knocked, and took a step back.
Now, this is it. Remember, don't say a word.
Enter!
Skermit slowly pushed open the door, and as it swung from the hinges, a wash of glowing blue light spilled from the room in a cobalt glare. Nervously, he shuffled inside, with Basil and Flora wincing in behind him. The bright light made it hard to focus on the curious character that awaited them from behind a large metallic desk. His silhouette, much larger than Skermit, fringed with blades of blue and white light, sat still and silent as they entered the room. The door closed.
Now what do we have here? One crumb and two very strange-looking creatures, unlike any I've come to name. What in Hevel's pocket are you?
Well, these are,
I'm not asking you, Crumb. My name is Ba-
ladies first, handsome boy. You'll take your turn, sweetheart.
Now then, young lady, what are you, and why are you here?
That scallywag send you today, send you to kidnap more of my people.
Flora opened her mouth to speak, and the sergeant continued.
Now I want you to think very carefully before you answer me,
Flora.
Right. I want you to think very carefully about this one, Flora, because if I don't trust what I hear, you two are in big, big trouble.
Jeez, they've got a real thing about trust here.
Sorry, what was that?
No, I don't think he...
You'd best not be cutting into this one, young crumb. Let your new friends answer for themselves. In fact, you can wait outside.
Can I go home?
The sergeant shot a bullet stare so direct Skermit felt the pressure in his heels, stumbling back a few feet before gathering himself into a turn towards the door.
I'll just wait.
The door, young crumb.
Oh, yep. Thank you. Bye.
Now then, where were we?
It's a pleasure to meet you, Sergeant. My husband and I are desperately seeking your help. We've...
Just a wee minute there. You had asked a question, and you seemed to have scattered around that one, missy. You see, yous two look like nothing I've ever seen, and I gotta be honest here, that makes me very, very uneasy. That young crumb out there, soft, impressionable,
He's just like most of the good people of this town. But I wasn't born yesterday, friends. I've seen things. I've protected this town from horror and tragedy a thousand hevels or more. If you take me for a fool, you'll live just long enough to regret it, and not a moment more. I promise you that, friends. Now, what are you, and how did you get here?
We are human, from beyond the line. I don't know what you'd call us, and I'm so very sorry, but we don't know how we arrived here. We still don't quite understand where here is. We're just as concerned as you are. We don't belong in Hevelton, and if it wasn't for Skermit, well, we might have been taken by those dreadful cedars.
Cedars? Where?
Oh, no, on the line outside of the town. Not long after Skermit found us, we were chased.
How far from the town?
It wasn't very far. Not far at all, actually.
That's a worry. How many were there?
Only two. Scouts. Scouts?
Aye. Peerless Lees often sends out scouts in pairs of small groups. They patrol and stalk the peripheries, looking for stragglers. You know, lost crumbs. Anyone they can easily swipe up and take back to the corner for, tests. And that young crumb, he was with you, was he, when this happened?
Yes, sir, he was.
Interesting.
Sergeant, please. We can only imagine the kind of weight that rests upon your shoulders, and if there is anything we can do to help validate our circumstances, then just say the word.
Sergeant Cruz stood, stepped out from behind his desk, and slowly approached the couple. As the light shifted, Basil and Flora could make out the man that now stood pondering their climacteric plea.
From beyond the line, you say?
Yes, exactly.
Who could that possibly be?
Skermit said no one had ever crossed the line before. Is that really true?
Aye, well, you know, not this way they haven't.
Oh, so, wait, crumbs have crossed the line before?
In a manner of speaking, they have, though Hevel knows what became of them.
How do you mean?
They didn't cross voluntarily, lad. They were ordered, sacrificed.
Good lord, yes, that's what Skermit was saying to us before, Basil, about Peerless.
Peerless Lees is his name, and no more rotten fool has ever lived. You can be sure of that. Many of those crumbs that fell were ours, taken from us, snatched from their lives and forced into a terminal relocation. That man is totally insane, besotted with himself, and more than that, he is desperate to get out, to cross the line and go beyond the Hevel.
Sergeant Cruz turned to face the coruscating lights that glared and filled the room from a wall behind his desk. The mood in the room seemed to split and fall into a more somber plateau as once readied words fell short to silence, caught behind a breath.
I wonder, if Peerless Lees has sent crumbs beyond the Hevel, does he, perhaps we could...
Out of the question. Now you listen to me. I'm just starting to believe this crazy story of yours. I mean, it's pretty hard not to. Just look at you. Never mind what you are. The point is, that man's a madman. An evil man at that. I can guarantee you, yes, he sent crumbs beyond the Hevel, and yes, I'm sure he still does. I know he still does, but not a single one of those poor buggers lived. Do you hear me? Not a single one. But, no buts, missy. That's final. We'll see no more about it. Okay.
Sergeant, we appreciate that we're the outsiders here, but if there is a way, any way, we're asking you to help us.
We just want to go home.
I will not sign off on needless death, but I will help you in any way I can. You have my word on that. But listen, not a lot's going to get done tonight. We'll meet here tomorrow and try and figure all this mess out together, okay?
Thank you, Sergeant.
Yes, thank you. We really appreciate it.
Never you mind about that. Try and get some rest tonight. I suspect you could use it. Young Crumb!
Hello, yep.
Take our new friends over to the Krusty Court. Make sure they get there safely and tell Clive to put the room on me.
Yes, sir, will do.
Oh, and just make sure and remember the rules of the line there, Young Crumb. The word is you were chased.
Oh, yes?
Any such activity must be reported without fault or fail. No excuses.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Come along, you two.
Thank you again, Sergeant.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. You strange-looking buggers. Right, where's my hat?
The Krusty Cot was the only guest house in all of Hevelton. Its primary function was to serve as temporary lodgings for bedless Hevelton residents during a move.
This happened so infrequently that the Krusty Cot had seen a grand total of 20 bookings in all its years as a guest house. Managed by the hermit-turned-hotelier Clive Crumbottom, decades of little use, few bookings, and a questionably bizarre approach to hotel management had seen the Krusty Cot reclaimed by the thick, consuming dust that plagued the town. Clive was a simple crumb, a somewhat reluctant loner forced into position at the hand of a community vote. It may serve to mention that this was no measure of the community's belief in Clive as the man to run a successful, clean, and ultimately popular guesthouse. Quite the opposite. Knowing that the guesthouse would see little to no business, the job at hand was far from favour, undesirable to the town's more social residents, and ultimately the gavel struck on Clive as in-house manager of the Krusty Cot. Little did Clive know, but he was about to receive the strangest-looking guests in all his years at the Krusty Cot guesthouse. Hello? Service, please. Hello?
Clive, booking in, please. Clive! Welcome to the Krusty Cot. I'm so sorry, I must have dozed off. My name's Clive and I...
See, but you look...
Clive. Clive.
I'm with you.
Clive, these two are to be booked in under order of Sergeant Kroost.
But they are...
Strangers, yes, I'm well aware, but they are not here to harm you. Please, just book them in.
Nice to meet you, Clive. My name's Basil and this is my wife, Flora.
You're sorry, this here?
Sorry, Clive, we didn't quite catch that.
Side here, please.
Righto.
How long are they? Are they
for the night? And we shall see what the sergeant says tomorrow. Okay, this is where we part. Do you remember your way back to the CCPCC?
We'll be fine. Yes, thank you, Skermit, so much for all you've done.
Some things are more than the sum of what we see and believe as truth. Some things surprise and leave us changed a lifetime over. You might be the strangest looking things I've ever seen, but I thank you for that lesson. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Skermit. Goodbye. Farewell, Skermit, old boy. Thanks again.
Your room? Your room is the third door on the right. Enjoy your stay.
Thanks very much.
Yes, thank you. Good night.
The following morning, the couple awoke wrapped in each other's arms, uncomfortably stretched out on the floor of their tiny room. The beds in the Krusty Cot guesthouse were crumb size, not at all fit for humans to rest in. Despite that, a hard floor was no match for the overwhelming exhaustion that sank both Basil and Flora into the deepest sleep either one could remember.
Oh, good morning, my love. Strangely enough, I think I actually slept.
Me too, darling. A much-needed sleep. Though I must say I was a little sad when I woke to find that this was all rather real, not a dream. I do so hope that we find our way home today.
Oh, my love, so do I.
I suppose it does depend on the sergeant, but what if he just can't help us? What then? I mean, it's not like he has experience or even any real knowledge of crossing the line himself, and I just worry that...
No matter what happens, we leave here today, together, and we go home. Whatever it takes, whatever we have to do, we'll do it, okay?
You're right.
I suppose we should probably leave. Oh, yes, I think we should get going. As much as I enjoy a hard floor, I'd appreciate a bed tonight.
Basil and Flora readied themselves and made their way out to the guesthouse lobby. There was little to no light to see by, and what there was seemed to cut sporadically. The lobby was completely silent, and Clive was nowhere to be seen. While the couple were still sleeping, the world they'd only just begun to accept was coming apart. Hevelton had reached a state of absolute emergency. City streets, black and void of any light, were packed with a manic charge as crumbs raced from door to door, terrified and utterly confused. Building lights, flickering erratically from behind their windows like the strobes of some closet rave, grew dimmer with every pulse. The power was draining out, and Hevelton was fading into total darkness.
Good Lord, what in heaven's happened?
I don't know. Excuse me. What's happening? Excuse me. Why is everyone running around? Where's all the light?
The Hevel never sank, now we're running on reserves.
The Hevel never sank, and I'm feeling quite concerned.
The Hevel never sank, and our town is in the dark.
The Hevel never sank, and it's back to pitch and sparks.
Hevel, 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 Hevel.
I think we'd better hurry over to the sergeant, darling. Best not hang around.
Yes, let's. I don't like this one bit.
CCPCC, name please.
Hello, yes, it's Basil and Flora Curious. We're here to see the sergeant.
The sergeant isn't here.
Well, do you know when he's expected back? It's just he asked us to meet him here.
He is expecting us.
Do I know when he'll be back? The sergeant is out on patrol. In case you hadn't noticed, the Hevel never sank, we have no power, and the town is an absolute pandemonium. I suggest you charge your sparklers and find a safe place to sit out the dark.
We actually don't have any sparklers. Hello? We actually...
Oh, darling, I don't think we're getting anywhere here. Come on.
But we... Yeah. My dear, I think there's only one thing to do. And though I don't like it, it's the closest thing to something that we have right now.
Everything the sergeant said, though. What if it's all true?
There's an awful lot of what-ifs, including a giant what-if that says, what if you stay here in this crazy dark town run by mad eccentric breadcrumbs? There is barely enough light to see, but if we hurry, there should be enough to get us out of the town. And where do we go from there, with no light and no idea of where we're going? Careful, darling. You're starting to sound a bit like me. Simple. We go back exactly the way we came. Slowly. Very, very slowly. By the time they'd reached the gate, it was impossible to see. All the chaos of a town in panic, like pulling through hooks, had only slowed them down. Feeling their way through, hand in hand, they left Hevelton behind.
Right then, do you remember which way it was? There was a light, but that's obviously not working now.
Yeah, I think it's this way.
And what is it that makes you so sure?
Darling, I might not be your typical rugged action kind of a guy, but I have a pretty good sense of direction.
Oh, no, I don't doubt you for a second, my love. I was just curious, that's all. My rugged explorer.
I think if we just stick close to the wall, we can at least feel our way. But you mustn't let go of my hand for a second.
Of course. It sure would be nice if we had one of those sparklers, though. Just a little light to see by. Then again, I...
Shh! Do you hear that?
What?
Wait. That.
Yes, I'm afraid I do. What do you think it is?
I don't know, but it's getting louder and coming our way. Let's get in close to the wall. Perhaps they'll just pass by. Quickly now.
I'll show you where we're here, lads. Yes, I'll tell you in a song. There's a heartless, crazy bugger, and he feels a diver wrong. He'll horn and stalk our people. He'll take and sacrifice to fuel and feed his ego and cross beyond the line. But we won't go down that easy. It's time to let him know. He's a sea of fists all swinging. It's time to end the show. Or we say 1, 2, 3, 4. No, 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 no. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, no, no. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, 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 no. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, no, no.
Stop! I can't find a gate in the dark, boys. Sparkler, now. Wait, 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 wait. I see you. Get out. The game's up there, friends. Come on. Who are you?
Sergeant, we're terribly sorry, but we did go to meet you this morning, and with all this going on, you weren't there. And, well, we can't just stay here. I'm sorry, but my wife and I are leaving, with or without your blessing.
And where is it you think you're going?
We're going to speak with Peter Sleece, and we are going home.
I was worried you were going to say that.
You can't stop us.
Aye, I know that, missy. I know. And that's exactly why I'm worried. I suppose there's nothing I can say to change your mind, though I wish with all my heart there was.
No, sir, but we do appreciate you, Sergeant. Truly we do.
Well, I guess this is farewell then, you strange-looking buggers. It's been brief, but I wish you all the luck, 1,000 hevels or more. All good things, friends. All good things.
You're a good man, Sergeant. The best of luck with all of this.
Good luck, Sergeant. Farewell.
Wait!
Yes, Sergeant? What is it?
You do know you're going the wrong direction there, friends. You'll want to be going the other way.
Ah, really? Thanks ever so much, Sergeant.
Just one more thing. It's bloody dark out here on the line. Dangerous, too. Take these sparklers. A little light goes a long way out here. A long way.
You're a gentleman, Sergeant. Thank you. If there was ever any way we could repay you,
just be safe, lad. Be safe, and please reconsider your destination. That's it. Farewell, and good luck to you. Man!
As the sound of Sergeant Kroost and his troopers petered out behind them, and the steady glow from their sparklers cut away through the dark, reality spoke in sobering thoughts woven between words.
You okay, my love? You've been a little quiet since we left the sergeant.
Yes, I'm fine. I was just thinking, that's all.
Thinking about what?
Actually, I was thinking about Frank.
I hope he's okay, poor thing. He won't have had any food, and we've already been gone for 24 hours.
He'll be fine. Worst comes to worst, he'll catch a bird or something. He is a cat, after all.
I wonder how far this place is. Skermit called it the corner?
Yes, that's right. I'll miss that guy. He's very odd, but I'll miss him.
Me too. Do you think we'll be okay?
Darling, I know we will. We have each other, and as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't ask for a damn thing more.
Come here. Basil pulled Flora close and squeezed tight.
I love you, and we are going to get out of this. I promise.
Basil, do you see that? Look, look, look. Turn around. Quick. Look. That green light. Could it...
No, is that...
Is that Skermit? Skermit! Over here! Here! Thank you.